Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, best-selling author, educator, and languaging expert, Danny Katz.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Kid Beyond. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Just for a frame of reference, this happens to be the very first Monday of 2025, and therefore our first live show. And already, of 2025. I've already heard people setting their goals for 2025 for the new year, whatever year you're listening. I've already heard people breaking their goals already. I'm just saying, you know, something that I've never suggested before. As a matter of fact, I didn't think about this until I was thinking about our guest for tonight. And so maybe it, along with goals, if you want to set goals, what about setting up a game? And or a challenge, but a game. Growing up, I invented a game, and I played it with my siblings, and I got them to play along. Now, my siblings are really funny people, and I really enjoy them. I love them a lot, and as kids, we had a great time. And I thought their humor sometimes got a little bit too negative or too deprecating or self-deprecating even. And I was the sensitive one to that kind of thing. And I said, what if we do not say anything negative for 7 days? Can we do that? And so we all bought in, they all bought in. And so whether it was humor or words or whatever, we weren't going to say anything negative about other people or each other or ourselves or what we were eating or anything like that. And I can't remember if we made it past a day, because the thing was, if we make it past a day, that'll be day two. And then if we don't make it past day two, then we have to start over, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it, whether we made it, we did it for a while. Whether we made it past a series of days, we definitely didn't make it to seven. I'm quite sure of that. But the don't say anything negative ended up being something that we've kind of used throughout our lives. Like if we're going to go someplace, like, you know, in our minds, are you going to don't say anything negative? So it worked in a sense that it focused us on whether our words were negative, whether they were maybe had the potential of hurting somebody or not, or ourselves. So there's a game. I'm not saying that you need to set up a game, but I am suggesting, especially to anyone listening to this particular show, because with our guest, she's going to be shedding light on a lot of things, on how we talk about things, on how we talk to ourselves, how we talk, speak to each other or about other people. So there are ways, consciously and unconsciously, so many of our words are rooted in our thoughts in ways that we might not want it to be rooted, especially, hey, it is 2025. It's time we could up level our conversations, our words, our life, and now's a good time to start with a game.
Now is a good time to start. And for some reason, Chris Voss, our past guest, the FBI negotiator, came to mind.
Oh, yeah.
While you were talking, because of his knowledge around words and the power and the bigger conversation of communication, persuasion, influence, all those things. But I think that, you know, the kind of the gamification of this and getting closer to language is becoming an increasingly, you know, more important topic every single day as we're understanding the power of not only words, but intention and the frequency. And I'm just really looking forward to tonight.
You know, I think he was our first guest of a year, many years ago. So I'd have to look back, but I bet you it's either first or second guest of the year. And wasn't his book like Never Say Yes or something like that? It was something
along those lines.
Yeah. Fascinating and great conversation, but words.
Well, and interestingly enough, and maybe that's where the link is, Melissa Rebronia and her husband, Will Henschel, that's how I got to know Chris. And through Melissa, we have been brought our performance guest, Kid Beyond.
So, and I'm glad you said
family
that.
Affair.
A family affair. Well, I'm glad you said that because through our mutual friend and my dear friend, Will Peterson, he brought us Danny Katz. As a matter of fact, knowing how I like words and talking about words, he gifted me a book and said, read this book. This is one, he knows I get a lot of books and I don't read. That's one book I read cover to cover. And that's the book we're going to talk about today. That was Word Up. Because here on our episode 823, we've titled it Little Languaging Hacks for Big Change, which happens to be the subtitle of Word Up. We're featuring our interview guest, Danny Katz, who is best-selling author, educator, and languaging expert. Welcome, Danny, to the Life Changes Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, and I'm so excited about our show and our conversation. And the funny thing is talking to you outside of the show, I was learning so much about you and I'm thinking, well, wait, let's save that for the show. And then I asked you if some of the things I was learning were in any of your books and you said, no. And I thought, you're so fascinating. Why aren't you in the books per se?
Well, I appreciate the fascinating label. And I think because there's so much for us to learn about the energetic frequencies encoded in language and how they are functioning to program reality that I don't want to get us off track with my own life. As well, I wrote for the LA Weekly for a decade, and I wrote for the Considerable Town column, and a lot of that was about me. So I think I just hit a phase where I'm like, okay, I've written about myself enough. Let's focus on this awesome tool called language and supporting people. So it's just a matter of staying on track, not wanting to get distracted, not wanting to make it about me.
That's so nice. And can we do a little, like, because it leads to what we're going to talk about, because I was fascinated and wanted to know as I was reading the book, and I'm like, how did she get to this? And then you said, oh, there's a story around that. Could you? The short version.
Yes, okay. I'm happy to share the short version. So it was back when I was writing for the LA Weekly, Whole Life Times, LA Yoga, Vice, Reality Sandwich. I was writing all the time. Words were really my world. And I was also an Ashtanga yogi. I went to bed one night totally healthy. I woke up in the morning in excruciating pain, paralyzed on the left side of my body, with my head notably stuck, looking down. So nothing happened on the physical plane, but I had 5 compressed discs in my upper cervical spine. My left arm was totally paralyzed, and I spent about a month in that state. So every day I would just lay on my couch kind of praying for this to fix itself. And I would go to my bookshelf and pick a book and just read. I was reading my way through it. And I found this book called Hidden Language Codes by R. Neville Johnston. I'd never seen the book. I have no idea how it ended up in my library. The book was about a man who was shot point blank in the chest. He died for several minutes. And while he was dead, he was given these languaging codes. After I finished reading the book, I could see the languaging codes. And because I was working with words all the time, they were inviting me into this sort of multidimensional exploration. And where I started to notice it the most was when I was going, as a writer at the LA Weekly, I was what they called their nutter butter writer. So I covered the wellness community, the spiritual community, Burning Man, entheogens, anything kind of weird or out there, esoteric, I was covering it. And I would go to these talks with, you know, mystical teachers, shaman, personal development coaches speaking to their audiences. And I started to see the words leave their mouths and seeing the effects that they were having on the people receiving the words. And I started to see where people were hurting themselves and each other all the time without even realizing it. So that was sort of the inception of my 5D word nerd superhero powers.
You know, that makes so much sense now, because you write with some, well, you're very passionate. So you write with so much passion, and you write with like, you got to get this. I mean, this right. is right. Okay. So could you give us like some examples of words that people are using that are either hurting them or hurting themselves or hurting other people or people they love that they would have no clue, or they don't have a clue now?
Sure. Should is a very simple one, right? When I tell you, oh, Filippo, I'm sorry you're having so much, you know, these issues with your back, you should see my chiropractor. It seems innocuous. It seems like it's well-intended, but I'm transmitting the frequencies of what I call wrong use of will. So I'm alleging that I have power over you in telling you what you should do. And in doing that, attempting to disempower you. Again, whether we know it or not, these are the frequencies embedded in our languaging. When I say I don't have time, I'm alleging lack of time. So I'm connecting myself to the frequencies of scarcity in the larger morphogenetic field, thus creating more scarcity in my life. Anytime I choose to hook into an identity construct, I'm limiting myself. If I projected an identity construct onto someone else, I will be limiting them. I'm trying to think of other examples. If I say I'm, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'll
remember. I was going to say, as you and I were talking about before we started recording, if I say I'm vegan, I'm putting myself in a box called vegan and necessarily limiting myself accordingly versus saying I tend to eat a plant-based diet.
Right. Right. So earlier I said you're fascinating and you said I accept that one.
Well, fascinating is an adjective.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Versus wow. Right. So there's like fascinating is an adjective. And as I say in Word Up, as well as my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, my body of work, which I call quantum languaging, is not rigid or dogmatic. There are no rules. They're just suggestions for how to work with language in a more constructive way. There are always going to be exceptions, but if I choose to identify as a brilliant, badass, best-selling author, and that identity lifts me up, infuses me with energy and inspiration, has me feeling good, then great. That's an identity construct that's working for me. If I'm using my sun sign being Aquarius as an excuse for not being organized, right? Oh, my desk is a mess. I always miss deadlines because I'm an Aquarius. That's an identity construct that isn't working for me because I'm using it as an excuse to be disorganized or to drop the ball or to let other people down. So it's just a matter of which identity constructs are working for me. If I define myself as an anti-sexist, in my self-identity, I'm going to be invoking the frequencies of sexism. So from my perspective, that's not something that's going to uplift me. That's not an identity construct that's going to fill me with like warm, fuzzy, sparkly butterfly feelings. So I would shift that to, you know, I'm devoted to equality. I'm devoting myself to cultivating, fostering, and spreading gender equality because that the frequencies in gender equality are going to lift me up versus sexism and claiming that I'm an anti-sexist, which is going to bring me down to that lower frequency of the problem. A lot of the issues I see in terms of people harming themselves and one another is identifying with the problems instead of with the solutions. I just had a group coaching call where someone was saying, it's so hard for me to be present. And I'm like, yes, it's going to be hard to be present when you're declaring the act of being present a challenge versus saying it's getting easier and easier for me to be more and more present. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You go.
I mean, I heard you say in the beginning when you were talking about the game that you had with your siblings, which was beautiful, but don't say anything negative.
Right. I know. But that's how we said as a kid. So corrective for today. Yes, absolutely. Go.
You know, a more helpful upgrade would be let's speak only positive. Because it also, you know, think of if you're, you know, if you're in charge of a toddler and the toddler's playing with scissors and you say, don't play with scissors. It's like, okay, well, what is the toddler supposed to do? But if you hand the toddler a teddy bear while taking the scissors away, then you've already given the toddler the solution. And the solution is, hey, let's play with the teddy bear instead of don't play with the scissors. Agreed. So it's the same thing. Instead of, you know, don't complain, don't talk about negative things where it's like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do instead? It's like, hey, let's focus on the positive. Let's think of three positive things that we can declare in this now moment.
Nice. I like that. Okay. So are some of the words that you've shared already, they don't seem strong enough to be like weaponization kind of words. Are there worser words?
Oh, absolutely. Anything, let's see, I'm wanting to be very careful about where we're going with this. I'm very cautious of tacking ER onto like beliefs or behaviors. Like we see a lot of that in the more ideological realm, climate change denier, election denier, where we'll take like a singular behavior or tendency or belief and try to turn that into an identity construct. That's a great way to dehumanize people and to move away from discourse around ideas and instead just throw one another down the river. I find those to be very damaging.
Wow. I hear you. Right. And so weaponizing in the sense like almost pulling a weapon on somebody, which sounds dramatic, but in a sense, there is some phrase or a saying that the tongue is sharper than the sword or something, right? That it
yes.
could hurt.
Oh, they can totally hurt. They can sting. They can really destroy the psyche. You know, if a child is being called names by a parent or an authority figure while the brain is forming, that can absolutely traumatize the child. Think about, you know, how damaging the word liar is. We all lie. We've all lied. But there's quite a difference between lying and being a liar. There's quite a difference between telling an off-color joke and being racist, right? And I feel like the word racist has been so weaponized over the past few years that it's lost its gravitas. So when we are talking about real deal instances of racism, because that word has been so overused and so misused, it doesn't really carry much weight anymore, which is actually dangerous when we are talking about actual instances of racism.
Wow, Danny. You have found this is at the heart of the culture, and especially in this day, how words are used either against ourselves or against other people. That's against other people. The against ourselves, you sort of touched on it with the it's so hard, but what are some of the ways that we use them against ourselves? Other ways?
A lot of it is self-talk. You know, I think One thing I see in our culture, which I'm very excited for us to be transmuting, is a tendency to make ourselves small, or when we make a mistake, you know, I'm a loser, I'm so stupid.
Yep.
Right? And we say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to a small child. And I always say, if you wouldn't say the words that you say to yourself to a small child, then they're not okay to speak to ourselves. You know, things saying like, if I injured my ankle, oh, my ankle's so messed up. You know, I'm so messed up. All these ways that we kind of affirm the negative and therefore sustain the negative or talk ourselves down. You know, I know we have Kid Beyond on the show. So let's say Kid Beyond was playing me a new song that he wrote. And I say, that's beautiful. And he goes, oh, I don't know. You know, it's still just a sketch, right? Then he's putting himself down and not receiving that compliment. And I love returning back to that Marianne Williamson quote where, like, the world doesn't need us small and disempowered. It needs our greatness. It needs us shining as bright and bold as possible. And if we're not rooting for ourselves, if we're not our A number one cheerleaders, then who's going to do it? And that's one of the primary, you know, distortions that right now we're being called to transmute, is this idea that authority lies outside of us, right? So if I'm not in the habit of validating myself, of encouraging myself, of telling myself how wonderful I am, then I'm going to be seeking outside myself for someone else to be doing that. And that is a very fundamentally disempowering way to move through the world. But when we fill our own cups by speaking kindly and lovingly and encouragingly to ourselves, then we're not dependent upon outside external entities to do that for us.
So we can use words, or words are affect other people, but you actually talk about transforming reality with language. That's almost feels like magical spells in a sense. Well, actually, maybe that's appropriate, what I just
said. It is. It is, because everything in this realm is created with words, including society, including cultural norms, including all of our systems, right? They're all created with words, especially when we're talking about abstractions that aren't made of bricks and mortar. Those are sustained through language. So if we're walking through our days talking about how horrible society is, how divided society is, how everything's getting worse and worse, then that is exactly what we will experience, because this is a realm of frequency and of give and take. So reality configures to whatever words, thoughts, and deeds we are programming it with. So whatever I put into society, I'm going to get back from society. So one of the bad habits that I'm excited for us to transmute is, again, instead of talking about the problems, lamenting the problems, complaining about the problems, we talk about the solutions. Right now, you know, I mentioned this before we started recording, I'm in the process of healing and up-leveling my dental health, my gums.
Yes.
So I don't talk about the issues that in the past have been plaguing my gums, or better said, had been plaguing my gums. Nice. I talk about how swiftly and easily I'm strengthening my gums, I'm regenerating my gums, how excited I am for my next dental appointment when my pockets come in, you know, at ones and twos. We speak to the up-leveled solutions we're calling in, and we lend them our allegiance by way of speaking those frequencies instead of doubling down on the problems, thereby empowering and strengthening the problems.
There are other examples of that I am sure you are doing. Can you give them? Because this is something that I don't hear a lot of people talk about. Because they'll say, oh, what's wrong with your whatever? Or, you know, oh, are you going to? And then they'll go to an older form of not taking care of the problem, but actually making it worse, but that's the only thing that they know, or that's what's available right now, right? So this kind of conversation is so new to people.
It is so new to people. And it's really a matter of practicing. So I'm always a fan of ing verbs, right, that indicate motion, that indicate the changes that we're calling in, that we're seeing more and more of. So seeing more and more peace, more and more unity, seeing more and more people waking up to their own power, waking up to the truth that there is no us them. We are a single species of earthlings who really all want the best for ourselves, for our families. So I speak these in constantly. I'm excited for humanity to wake up to their power instead of saying I'm sick of humanity, you know, sitting on their knees and ignoring their power or sinking into their disempowerment. No, I speak to the change that I'm calling in, and I'm constantly framing things in the solutions. I'm excited to see more and more politicians speaking unity and really listening to their constituents and really making moves that indicate that they care about the people more so than corporations or lobbyists. Right. So it's always framing it in terms of the solution and in terms of how I'm excited to see more and more of this. I'm excited. I can feel this coming in quickly. I feel this change. And it's a lens of perception. It's very much, you know, glasses half empty, glasses half full. In any moment, we can point to five things that are sucky and five things that are wonderful. And it's training our lenses of perception to stay tenaciously focused on what's wonderful and grow that and speak to that. You know, anyone we're talking to, what's wonderful about this person? What qualities am I most attracted to? And how can I help bring more of these qualities out of this person in this dynamic? If I'm having a tough dynamic, say with like a boss, instead of focusing on the things about my boss that annoy me, what are one or two things I can focus on that I appreciate about my boss? And train my lens of perception to look for those things and to acknowledge those things so that those things will grow. Those things will start to dominate our exchanges and our dynamic, because that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm focusing on. That's what I'm referencing. That's what I'm speaking into.
Good on you. So one of the things that this is going too fast, and you're bringing in so much that I'm like, great, we can go all kinds of other places. And what are your favorite words to use is us?
Yes. Wow. So I'm, you know, a big part of my work is root causes and solutions, right? So in any situation, I'm looking like, what is the root cause of the dysfunction or the distortion? And what is the solution? When I look at our world situation, the situation we're dealing with here in America, I feel like the root cause is this illusion of separation, this engineered divide that some of us have temporarily bought into. And luckily, we're healing very quickly. And so I like to move away from the idea of a them, you know, in terms of the us them polarity. When we put people in the them group, we're outcasting them, right? We're letting them know you're not part of the us, you're not part of the in group, you're on the out. Right? So when we're communicating with the them part of the us them polarity, we're creating more division. We're speaking more separation into the field. What that does to people who are being put in the them group is it triggers the amygdala, right? It triggers that lizard brain that says, I'm not safe because I'm not included in the us group. I'm being put in the them group. So then it's going to put, you know, those of us who are being put in the them group on the defensive, and that's going to create friction and conflict. So what I like to do is expand the boundaries of the us. And so, you know, it's some of us voted Republican, some of us voted Democrat, some of us choose to eat an omnivorous diet, some of us choose to eat only a plant-based diet, right? I'm still describing the differences, but they're all held underneath the umbrella of the us, which allows everyone to feel a lot safer, to put down the armor, and it gets rid of this illusion of separation, which I just feel like we've taken it to its outermost limits, and it's definitely time for us to heal that and move back together into unity, where we can come up with creative solutions for some of the things that haven't really been working so well in our society.
You know, I didn't know this was going to come up, and forgive me if you have to, but you did say in passing that you were a cheerleader.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here I'm thinking like, you go, like, I feel like there's a cheer. Have you come up with a cheer yet, Danny, that we could wake up in the morning and cheer that is all words that can empower us for the day? Like, if anybody can do it, I can, or something. I just feel like you're cheering us on in that we can do this. We can do this together. We can change our language and better ourselves, up level and all of that, and together. I feel like that's what you're doing. You're this big cheerleader for this.
I so appreciate you making that connection, because I honestly hadn't made it myself. And it's true. I am such the human encourager. I am constantly cheering for humanity. I think my go-to is, we got this. You know, and the more that we know that we have this, we can rest in that and have confidence in that. The solutions come through that frequency, right? Because the subconscious mind is responsible for 95% of our experience of reality. And the subconscious mind is programmed primarily through language. So when I'm telling my subconscious mind about all these tragic, bobagic problems to which we have no solutions, then that is how my subconscious mind is going to experience reality. But when I tell my subconscious mind, we've got this, this is a piece of cake, we're figuring this out quicker and easier than we had ever thought, then now my subconscious mind is open to that potentiality. And all of the solutions that are vibrating at the same frequency of that potentiality are now going to come in, because this is a realm of frequency.
This is a realm of frequency. Well, there are several books Danny has out, and I want to touch on at least another one, which I kind of feel like has come up, but I just want to let everybody know, in case you've been wondering, Danny Katz, D-A-N-I, Katz, K-A-T-Z. So DannyKatz.com is where you can find out more about her. Of course, you can always go to Life Changes show page and see all the links we have there, but she's on Instagram. She is something.Danny, D-A-N-I. So the other book I wanted to at least touch on again, which I think you did, but is the better, not, what is it?
The Language of Betterarchy.
That one. Thank you. The Language of Betterarchy. What more can we learn when we do read that book?
Well, thank you for asking, because it is my favorite thing that I've written to date. The Language of Betterarchy is about evolving our culture out of its outdated hierarchical structure into a structure that I'm calling Betterarchy, that's marked by empowerment, abundance, peace, inspiration, sustainability, inclusion, equality, all those wonderful things. And I started researching this book right after Me Too erupted. I was still living in Los Angeles, and I just started to see people who were in my like spiritual awakening circles speaking about men in a way that was really demeaning and dehumanizing. And I was very confused by it. And I didn't understand what was happening. And I was hearing all this like, smash the patriarchy, kill all men. And then it was supposed to be considered a solution, that women were being put into places of power, places at the top of the hierarchical rungs, and men were being kicked to the curb. And it occurred to me, wait a minute, this isn't a fix. Like, putting women on top is not a solution. If we need there to be losers for there to be winners, then this game is broken and it's time for us to create a better game. And that is the definition of hierarchy. Hierarchy is an organizational structure that is defined by status and privilege. So again, if we need there to be ghettos, if we need there to be favelas for there to be gated communities and golf courses, then the system needs a full-on upgrade. So I started to examine hierarchy and the language of hierarchy and started to examine our languaging patterns that were sustaining hierarchy. So the book lays out the 10 different markers of hierarchical languaging. That includes lack, limitation, separation, identity, fixity, wrong use of will, fear, and very simple ways for us to start to recognize when we're speaking language that is infused with those frequencies. Because the big part of my work is that we are all 100% responsible for our experience of reality. So I'm responsible for sustaining this outdated structure by using its language, by speaking status and privilege and disempowerment. Whether I'm aware of it or not, I am responsible. So it's a great way for those of us who really want to be forces for positive change in the world. It's a great way for us to enact that change is to start to be responsible for the frequencies we're speaking into the larger field. For us to be aware of the frequencies that we're speaking to our fellow brothers and sisters and to be sure that those are frequencies that are empowering, that are respectful, that are uplifting, that are honoring other people's free will. And I see it like fish swimming in a toxic ocean, right? Let's say something toxic were to spill into the ocean, which of course would never happen because humans are way too responsible to disrespect our ocean like that. But let's suspend our disbelief and just pretend like something like that could happen on our watch. So something toxic spills in the ocean and it's affecting all the marine life differently. You know, the whales are having headaches, the octopi are having issues with vertigo, the seals are, you know, having belly aches, right? So we can bring in a whole bunch of different specialists and have the specialists bring in a whole bunch of different fixes and you know, prescriptions and modalities for each different marine animal, for each different expression of the imbalance, or we could simply purify the water. And when we purify the water, life balances itself out. It's called homeostasis, right? That's actually how life functions. So when we look at, well, how do we change the world? Well, we're going to have to fix the judicial system, the economy, the education system, the, you know, all the different branches, or we could simply purify the water that is our language. And when we start speaking an up-leveled language that is in harmony with the frequencies we all want to be living, I think we can all agree that it would be lovely to live in peace and abundance and cooperation, where there's enough to go around for everyone. When we're speaking those frequencies, then the solutions will necessarily fall into place because, again, that is the law of this realm. It is a realm of frequency. So it just, to me, feels like the simplest, most graceful path is to up-level our language, to purify our language, and allow the solutions to pour in from there.
And that's the language of betterarchy. And so that's the latest book or one of them. And there are so many. So again, go to Dani Katz, DaniKatz.com. There you can also get on her newsletter list, and she's got newsletters going out all the time. Lots of other links. The Instagram is something.dani, D-A-N-I. Dani, thank you so much for sharing the energy with so much energy on the Life Changes show for us. You've given us lots to ponder, lots to grow with. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Filippo. It was a pleasure.
It's been our pleasure indeed. Whew. You know, Mark, I thought I was doing good. She makes me want to do gooder. And yes, by the way, I know I use the word worser and good, two words all in the same episode. The word.
Yeah. Okay, good. As long as we're
on
the same
page. It's about words. So
that's important. this feels like it needs to be the first in a series.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
There's so much more here. And what was really resonating with me in terms of this accountability, self-awareness, ownership of your creation or your contribution to creation. It reminded me, and I'll come back to the language in a second, but it reminded me of the other night. I was at a friend's house and their young 6, 7, 8 year olds were on video games. And I won't call out the brands, but, you know, steal cars, beat up women, all sorts of stuff going on. And even though I've been aware and I talk about mental programming and gaming and the language and the other things that are associated, I was so shocked as to how quotes in the air normal it was allowed to be. And then that's what came around to so much of what she was saying is how complicit we are in continuing to encourage, you know, hurtful subconscious jokes, disparaging comedy in our children's shows or whatever, which is, you know, driven by language and thought and behaviors.
Oh my gosh. Really good point. Wow. This is so great. Yes. We'll have talked about the series. It could be a word per show. It's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Tyler and I have met a man I am truly in love with. However, our relationship is rocky. Some days he says he loves me, but his behavior makes me question if he does. How does one ever truly know if another person's love is real?
Dearest Tyler, I believe that true love is expressed as a deep, unconditional connection between two people that transcends fleeting emotions or surface-level attraction. It involves a sense of mutual respect, trust, and understanding, with both partners supporting each other's growth and well-being. True love isn't just about passion or romance. It is about commitment, loyalty, and a genuine desire for the other person's happiness, even when faced with challenges or changes. In a healthy, true love relationship, both individuals remain authentic and vulnerable with each other, while also fostering emotional security and a sense of belonging. True love involves compromise, effective and honest communication, and the ability to weather life's ups and downs together, knowing that each person is valued and loved for who they truly are. It's about being there for each other through both the good and the difficult moments and making the conscious choice to nurture and protect that bond over time. True love is often described as something that grows and evolves, deepening over the course of a relationship. It's not a static feeling, but rather a continual choice to connect, appreciate, and care for the other person. It's about partnership, empathy, and a shared vision for the future. And let's remember that true love is not only about romantic relationships. It is also about the way we love our family and friends. I trust that you will examine all of your relationships closely and determine if you are truly expressing deep love for each of them. It may help you to write down all of the aspects of your relationships to discover if true love is what is being shared. I believe that once you determine what true love is, you will reach a greater understanding of how much love you are experiencing daily. And dear Tyler, as I have shared with you before, the person you need to love the most is you. So let's determine how much true love you are giving Tyler. I am looking forward to an update from you soon.
And thank you for that wisdom, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And our performance guest on this episode is a singer, a songwriter, and a Buddhist teacher. He is Kid Beyond. Welcome, Kid Beyond, to the Life Changes Show.
Hi, Filippo. Very nice to be with you.
Oh, it's great to be with you. I've been I was going to say zenning out to your music, but that's not true, because I was also like moving and grooving. So it's interesting because it's kind of spiritual and it makes you want to move. So how do you describe that?
Well, you know, I was listening to your conversation with Danny, and when she raised this notion of ER words, like, oh, someone is a liar or a denier. Mm. And I knew you were going to introduce me as singer, songwriter, Buddhist teacher. So I started writing down, like, what if I took that on and took away all those ER words? So what I wrote down while I was listening to you and Danny was, I create music and musical experiences. I teach various beautiful spiritual and embodiment practices, but ultimately I'm here to help folks find more presence, openness, kindness, and love in themselves, with each other, and in their lives on this planet.
And that was me today listening to your music. So thank you for that.
Yes, wow. No, there are no ER words in there. No, I'm trying to unwind from all of those identity constructs.
Wow, good on you. It's funny you say that, because the music, like, I was feeling like it was already different. You're different, and you come from a different place, obviously. Now the adding the Buddhism to it, but before Buddhism, or there was a before Buddhism, right? Because that's newer than the music that you started.
Yes, I've been making music my whole life. I after college I moved to San Francisco, and I started a vocal group, and we signed with Warner Brothers, and they ended up trying to make us into a boy band. And that was a really interesting ride, my 20s. And then I toured the world making music on my own, doing what they call live looping, using electronic equipment to multiply my voice over and over and over to create spiritual electronic music, heartful electronic music. And in there is when I started to really find spiritual practice and really plant those seeds within myself. And now what inspires me most is the integration and the dance of my musical work and my spiritual work. And really they're one, as I said, they're ultimately paths up the same mountain.
Yeah, interesting, because as I was talking, I very much enjoyed our conversation earlier today, and again, your music as well. And in a sense, I was thinking our life experience can flow. So I'm talking to the person who sings and brings that experience, and I'm getting an experience talking to him, and then I get an experience hearing his music. Mm-hmm. Like it can all be one. Or wouldn't
that's
it be
why
nice
I'm,
if it could?
That's why I'm here on this planet. I'm here to love, serve, create, and inspire. Right now that's my purpose. Those four. I've kind of taken those on as my purpose on this planet. You know, I was looking up your name, your last name, as you were talking about frequencies, and Voltaggio, I found on Wikipedia, is a region in Italy, in Piedmont, but in Italian it also means voltage.
Yes.
Voltage, electricity, aliveness. And that really resonated for me, especially when you were talking with Danny about words as magical spells and how powerful and transformative words can be. And one of the reasons I love making music and creating musical experiences is that sound is also magical and transformative. And then when we weave words and sound together, frequencies, it becomes medicine, transformative, magical medicine.
Well, let's have some of your other medicine right now. And this song has one simple, powerful word, title, which is honey. What part of this would you like us to know before we hear it?
Not much. Not much, because I love folks just coming to the music without me coloring it. So I'll just say it's a song of sensual, spiritual communion. We'll just leave it at that.
Ooh, well, here is Kid Beyond's Honey, pre-recorded on the Life Changes Show.
Such a sweet, sweet stiletto. wanna drown in your sea.
Kid Beyond. The Oakland Tribune said, Kid Beyond will blow your mind. One of the true wonders of the musical universe. Yeah, we get it, right? NPR said a tour de force. I mean, wow. The San Francisco Bay Guardian, best of the Bay, said Kid Beyond reigns as the king of the Bay.
Oh, that's nice.
Kid Beyond at kidbeyond.com, just like it sounds. He's, of course, on Instagram and Facebook. We have his links at the Life Changes Show page. As a matter of fact, we had the video of that particular song, Honey, on our webpage for Kid Beyond. You know, I wasn't going to ask you about this. We don't have to talk about it for too long, but seriously, two-time Jeopardy champion.
Yes, really? I've been on Jeopardy four times and I've won twice. Yes.
You're the only person that got to beatbox with Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek did ask about beatboxing. He had never beatboxed before, and so we beatboxed right there in the middle of the game show.
See, yes. Now that there's obviously there's some magic there. There's something that people want to go there with you, right? They want to be moved or move that frequency with you.
I would like to think that everyone wants to experience their heart opening to themselves, again, to themselves, with each other. And in these human lives, and whatever it looks like for them. So if I can help, then that's why I'm here.
Mm. Well, we do know that you help because you teach meditation and you lead workshops and retreats and that kind of thing. So tell us more about that. And actually, by the way, I did read that you taught meditation in the U.S. Congress?
Yes, there is or was, I don't know actually if it's still there, but there was a weekly meditation group in Congress in Washington, D.C. for staffers, for folks who work in that building. And if you can imagine the most stressful workplace you have ever been in, I would imagine it's the U.S. Congress, just people running down the halls with huge stacks of paper in their hand and talking to some of the folks who work there. They say, you know, everyone wants something different from me every 10 minutes. Their jobs are incredibly stressful. And so once a week, they meet in a small room and they just sit. Republicans, Democrats, independents, they all sit together in silence and meditate together.
Oh, wow.
So it was so beautiful to be able to guide them in mindfulness, just for an hour. You know, this is on their lunch hour.
Wow.
So just a beauty to be able to plant those seeds. I think it's so necessary. Necessary to be planting those seeds there.
Kid B, thank you for that. So real quickly, because we want to get to hear this second song, which is not only special, but it also has some special characteristics to it that we're going to talk about in a moment. So tell us about the workshops and retreats, which is a whole other show for sure, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I teach workshops both online and in person around mindfulness, heartfulness. I love gratitude practice. We could talk for hours just about gratitude, things like mindful eating, mindful speech, mindful listening, embodiment, presence. So again, if you're interested in any of that, just by hearing the two of us talk right now, you can find me on the socials, Insta, Facebook. I'm Kid Beyond. and kidbeyond.com to get on my mailing list, and hopefully we get to cross paths.
Well, hopefully we'll get to cross paths too. In the meantime, though, this next song is very special for many, many reasons, and it has also a particular quality to this particular performance. So tell us what you want about it. I'll fill in what I want to say if you don't say it.
Great. This is kind of a world premiere. This is a song I'm still working on it. This is a work in progress. And so this is kind of one of my intentions for 2025, where I used to be very perfectionist about these things. No one can hear it until it's done and perfect. Mm. So I'm trying to open and say, I'm working on this in the studio right now. It's called Learn to Love, Learn to Lose. And where it came from, last year, I did a lot of grieving. I did a lot of grieving. Three relationships in three completely different realms of my life. I was grieving them all at the same time. And in the midst of this grieving, I went to a wedding of a dear friend, and I ended up talking to his mother at length. And she revealed that she had lost a daughter many years ago who took her own life. Mm. And she's a very spiritual person, this wonderful woman. And she said to me, she looked me in the eye and she said, I really feel that in these lives of ours, there's really only two things we're here to do: learn to love and learn to lose. Mm. And that landed for me so deeply on a personal level, because I was in the midst of some deep grieving. But then it just resonated on a universal level, that yes, we can love, we can learn to open our hearts. And in these human lives, whether we want to or not, we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to lose. We have to learn to grieve. And I think we don't do enough grieving in this culture of ours. I was talking to someone who does grief work and grief workshops, who said, we don't grieve what we don't love. We only grieve what we love. So I wanted in this song to really explore this dance of love and loss, the dance of love and grieving. So this is Learn to Love, Learn to Lose. First time it's been played on any kind of radio show. World premiere.
Thank you for that. And this is Kid Beyond's pre-recorded, not yet finished song here on the Life Changes Show.
Shrouded stars, shadow sky, bathed in angels, mourns the cry. Paint the night, tears of blue. We learn to love, we learn to loot. There's a place we all go, where the angels turn to stone. We don't know, we can't choose. You learn to love, you learn to lose. Echoes call through the dark, born memories torn apart. Open heart, open wound. You learn to love, you learn to lose. There's a place we all know, where the voices fade.
house grow. We don't know, we can't choose. You learn to love, you learn to lose. You learn to
Kid Beyond. Well, find him on socials at Kid Beyond. You can go to kidbeyond.com. You can go to Life Changes Show website page, find Kid Beyond. Kid B, you've put me in such a beautiful state.
Thank you, Filippo. So beautiful to be here. Thank you for the beautiful work you do on this show, you and Mark and the whole staff. Thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to, it's our pleasure, and I look forward to more of Kid Beyond, and of course, obviously, all your fans do too, and now you have many, many more, and may they continue to grow. Thank you for bringing your energy in the way that you do, and in the teachings, and in the songs, in the speakings, and all of that. Looking forward to, again, more. What can I say? It's a beautiful way to kick off this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year. And with a big heartfelt thank you to Kid Beyond, and another big heartfelt thank you to Danny Katz. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone, and Happy New Year.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.